Hello, everyone. Hello. This year is dedicated Lili Nishmas, Rachel Leah Bas, Reb Chaim Tzvi. Okay, we're going to discuss matzah today. Matzah plays a dual role at the Seder. Matzah has two symbolisms, and we're going to see that these two symbolisms of matzah, really, the whole Seder, the whole Magid, revolves around these two ideas of matzah. And then later, Bezrat Hashem, we'll discuss some lessons for life, really, that we can learn from the idea of eating matzah on Pesach versus chametz. First, let's start at the Seder. Matzah symbolizes the slavery. One of the symbolisms of matzah. How does matzah symbolize the slavery? Well, first of all, matzah is called lechem oni, the bread of affliction. In Chumash Devarim, Perek Tes Zayin, lechem oni, the translation of lechem oni means bread of affliction. Matzah is the symbol of slavery. Pashup Shat, this means, we ate matzah, slaves in Mitzrayim. So matzah is the symbol of slavery for many generations. For 200 years, we ate matzah, slaves in Mitzrayim. The Rishonim give other explanations as well. The Abu Draham. The Abu Draham is a Rishon. He's most well known for his explanation of the Siddur. He's quoted all the time. He wrote one of the first early explanations of most of what we have in the Siddur. So the Sfarim Kol, the Abu Draham, says the following idea. Why do we eat matzah in Mitzrayim? We eat matzah because, this is interesting, matzah doesn't digest as well. It digests more slowly. So if you're a slave owner and you want your slaves to feel full and to be able to work longer, so then you'll feed them matzah instead of bread because the matzah takes longer to digest, so it saves money. So the Abu Draham says that the Mitzrayim served us matzah, it saves them money. That they can have more productivity from their slaves, the Jews who were the slaves, feeding them matzah instead of chametz, instead of bread. The Sforno, and we'll see later, the Shula works with this as well, the Shula Kadosh. The Sforno explains also in Devarim Perek Tes Zayin a very interesting explanation. Why did we eat matzah as slaves in Mitzrayim? He says as follows. The Jews were taking their lunch break, coming home to eat, to relax in the middle of the day for a little while. And then the Mitzrim would rush us back to work and say, no, get back to work. And the men would help their wives prepare the oven to get it ready, to start cooking and baking. And the Mitzrim would rush us back to work to get, and therefore we had to eat matzah instead of chametz. We'll get back to that later. That's a very interesting idea. So the eating of matzah, there was like a knock at the door. And like, quick, get back to work. And so we didn't have time to let the dough rise into bread and taste so good and everything. We had matzah instead. That was part of the slavery that the Mitzrim rushed us back to work, and therefore we ate matzah instead of chametz. The simplest shot, of course, is matzah doesn't taste so good. Matzah doesn't taste as good as bread does. So when you're a slave owner and you're feeding your slaves, you don't give them Brooklyn Bakery brownies. We'll get back to that later. You don't feed Brooklyn Bakery brownies. You feed them matzah. It doesn't taste so good. You feed them matzah instead of chametz. Okay. So matzah clearly is the symbol of slavery. This is a major theme of matzah on Pesach, and as we'll see at the Seder. The Aramaic term for matzah, for lechem oni, the Torah says lechem oni. Aramaic, it's lachma anya. The Aramaic for lechem oni is lachma anya. The exact gematria of lachma anya is 210. And that's how many years we were in Mitzrayim. That is not a coincidence. That's tremendous. Matzah symbolizes slavery. The Hebrew phrase is lechem oni. Lach ma'anya, lamed ches mem aleph. Lamed ches mem aleph is 79. Anya is 131. And together it's 210. So matzah clearly is a symbol of the slavery, the oppression. This is one of the major themes of matzah in Mitzrayim and at the Seder. Okay. At the same time, however, we know that matzah is also the symbol of geula, the symbol of freedom, the symbol of redemption. How is matzah the symbol of redemption? The Torah tells us matzah is a symbol of redemption. The Torah describes, we ate matzah when we left Mitzrayim because the Mitzrayim rushed us out. Kibuchi pozen, we were in a rush. The Mitzrayim rushed us out. We didn't have time to let the dough rise into bread. Bezer Shem, we'll get back to that later as well. Matzah becomes the ultimate symbol of the miracles of leaving Mitzrayim. The Chinuch writes this, the Pashup Shat, The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Yud Aleph, he writes that matzah reminds us of the miracles of leaving Mitzrayim. We left in a rush. Not only did we leave, we were rushed out. What a miracle. After so many years, the Mitzrayim were pushing us out. Rush, rush, get out of here, get out of here. And matzah is the symbol of Geula. Oh, the Sfarim quote, they quote from one of the Sfarim, Tiferes Yisrael, another angle on this matzah is a symbol of Geula. That how do you bake bread? How do you bake matzah? You bake matzah in a sense, you put the dough in the oven and you take it out early. Right? If you leave it in for a long time, it becomes bread. Take it out quickly, oh, then it's matzah. So too, I myself is in Mitzrayim. So, in a sense, we were supposed to be there for many years, but Hashem took us out early. We left Mitzrayim early. Just like the matzah comes out of the oven early. We left Mitzrayim early as well. So matzah becomes like a mashal for the Jews leaving Mitzrayim early. Oh. And finally, the idea that matzah symbolizes the geula is also found in the name of matzah. Matzah is called lechem oni. That's what the Torah calls it in Devarim Perek Tezayin. So oni means affliction. Okay. But ona has another meaning. We use the term shomea keona. Let's say you're hearing Kiddush. So let's say the head of the household is making Kiddush and you're listening. So how are you to say your mitzvah of Kiddush? Ah, you listen to the head of the household. And when that person makes Kiddush and you listen, then you answer Amen, you're Yotzei the Mitzvah of Kiddush. How? Listening, Shomeya, is Ke'one. Listening is like saying it. Listening is like speaking. The word Ona means to talk, to speak, to answer. Listening is like answering. So Lechem Oni, the Gemara says, also means lechem, bread, she'oni na'olav dvarim harbe, bread over which you say many things. That you tell the story over the matzah. The matzah symbolizes the geula, symbolizes the freedom. We're leaving, we tell the story tonight, tell the story over the matzah. Lechem tonav dvarim harbe, we're excited. This matzah is a symbol of geula. When we tell the story at the Seder, tell the story over the matzah. So matzah symbolizes the slavery, and it also symbolizes the geula. These are the two themes of matzah. The Abarbanel points out, the Abarbanel on the Haggadah, the Abarbanel has a very, very long perush on the Haggadah. So he has a long discussion of matzah. He points out as follows, and this is actually very precise. You know, we ate matzah when we left Mitzrayim two times. We ate matzah at night and the following day. Let's get the day straight. According to the standard pshat, the pshat that the Shulchan Aruch goes with, so Wednesday was Yud Dalet Nisan. The year we left Mitzrayim, Wednesday was Yud Dalet Nisan. That was the day we shechted the Korban Pesach. So Shabbos Haggadah was on Shabbos, was Yud. So if Shabbos Haggadah is Yud, then 4 days later, Wednesday is Pesach. It is the day we shechted the Korban Pesach. That night, Wednesday night, we ate the Korban Pesach. That was the night, Wednesday night, when Makas Bechoros happened. So Wednesday night, reading the Korban Pesach with the matzah. Hashem gave us a mitzvah, eat matzah with the Korban Pesach. The next day, Thursday, Tesvav Nisan, we left Mitzrayim in the middle of the day. By the way, the Torah says several times, we left Mitzrayim during the day. We left Mitzrayim by day. We didn't sneak out at night. There's a famous medrash that the Ramban quotes, that a robber, a ganav, sneaks out because he's afraid to get caught. We weren't afraid. Hashem was with us. It was as if we said to the Mitzrayim, you can't stop us. We're leaving in the middle of the day. We left Mitzrayim in the middle of the day. There is one pasuk where the Torah sounds like we left Mitzrayim at night, Hotziacha in Devarim, that we left Mitzrayim at night, Belaila. So the Mefarshim explained that means the beginning of the Gula was at night, meaning the permission to leave was given at night. But we left Mitzrayim during the day. Oh, so we shechted the Korban Pesach on Wednesday, Yud Dalet Nisan. We ate the Korban Pesach Wednesday night. Wednesday night, that was the night of Makas Bechoros. And the next morning, in the middle of the day, we left Mitzrayim on Thursday, Tesvav Nisan. That's the standard explanation in Chazal. That's the shita which Tosfos refers to and which the Shulchan Aruch quotes. Okay. Now, we ate matzah at night with the Korban Pesach, and we ate matzah the next day when we left Mitzrayim. So the Barbanel says, exactly, the matzah at night was the matzah which symbolized the slavery, I'll explain in a second, and the matzah in the day is the matzah which symbolized the gula. Clearly, the matzah during the day was the matzah of the gula. We're leaving Mitzrayim Thursday in the middle of the day. Is the matzah which symbolized the gula. Clearly, the matzah during the day was the matzah of the gula. We're leaving Mitzrayim Thursday in the middle of the day. We were not going to be in a rush. We wanted to bake our matzah in our, we wanted to bake bread in our homes. But then the Mitzrayim rushed us out. So the Torah describes in Shmos Perek Yud Beis that because they rushed us out, we had matzah instead of bread. So the matzah of the day, Thursday, Tesvav Nisan, was the matzah of the redemption, of the gula. At night, we hadn't left Mitzrayim yet. Why do we eat matzah at night? The Torah says, eat the Korban Pesach together with the matzah and the maror. Al matzos umrom yochuhu. Eat the Korban Pesach with the matzah and the maror. The maror clearly symbolized the shibud. The maror symbolized the slavery, the oppression. So the Torah groups the matzah with the maror. So it's clear that the matzah and the maror both symbolize the slavery. That was the matzah. For 200 years we've been slaves, and we ate matzah as slaves. So the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Korban Pesach symbolized the geula. That was the carbon of the geula. So Hashem wanted that we eat the Korban Pesach together with the geula, together with the matzah and the maror of the shibud. So the Rabbanel says that these two themes of matzah are reflected, were expressed in the two times we ate matzah at the Seder. We ate matzah, the two times we ate matzah at the time of leaving Mitzrayim. The matzah at night with the Korban Pesach was matzah of the Shibud. We hadn't left yet. Matzah wasn't a symbol of freedom yet. We hadn't left. Matzah became a symbol of freedom on Thursday when we left. We were rushed out. Until then, matzah was a symbol of slavery, as we explained earlier. Oh, but then the next day, it became a symbol of freedom. So these are the two times we ate matzah when we left Mitzrayim, the two themes. Oh, there is a wonderful sefer called Hegyonei Halacha, two volumes by Rav Mirsky Shlita. Tremendous, wonderful sefer. He develops themes in Halacha and Hashkafa together. He had many themes on the Seder. He put out a special volume called Hegyonei Haggadah. It's also in English now. Fabulous sefer on Haggadah, wonderful sefer. He points out something very straightforward. But it brings the whole Seder comes alive when you hear what Rav Mirsky has to say. Rav Mirsky points out that these two themes of matzah are both expressed at the Seder as well. We mention matzah as a symbol of the slavery. Where? At the beginning of Magid. Halach ma'anya. Right at the very beginning of Magid, we say, Halach ma'anya, diachol abasana be'arad Mitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction which our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. So we start Magid, focusing, emphasizing matzah as the symbol of slavery. Oh. Then we go through Magid, and towards the end of Magid, we have the most crucial part of Magid. Amar Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel said, there are three things you must say at the Seder, or else you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah. Pashup Shah, you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim. What are the three things? Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. A Jew has to explain at the Seder why we eat Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. And that is the minimum of the Mitzvah of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's what the Mishnah says. Rabbi Gamliel is from the Mishnah. It's quoted in the Seder. That is the minimum for the Mitzvah of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim. So you have to say, why did we eat the Korban Pesach, and why do we eat more, and why do we eat matzah? This is towards the end of Magid. This is the most crucial part. And by the way, this has to be understood. This has to be explained. This has to be, understood. Like at many people's sedarim, it's a good idea to this section of Magid to have somebody read in English, or read in the language which you understand, as to make sure that it's understood, because this section has to be said and understood as well. That we eat Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, and why do we eat Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, and it explains why. So when the Haggadah explains why we eat matzah, the Haggadah says, why do we eat matzah? Because the Mitzrim rushed us out. Well, that's why we eat matzah at the Seder. So the Haggadah quotes that pasuk, the pasuk in Shmos Perek Yud Beis, that we ate matzah when we left Mitzrayim because the Mitzrim rushed us out. The matzah, the symbol of the Geula. So it's striking that at the Seder, at Magid, we discuss both themes of matzah. Which one is it? The answer is simple and it's beautiful. The answer is it's both. And at Maggid, at the Seder, we emphasize, we mention both themes of matzah. And it's in exactly the right order. We start Maggid talking about matzah being the symbol of slavery. And then what happens during Maggid? What happens at Maggid? At Maggid, we tell the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Leaving Mitzrayim, it's like you're fast forwarding. You're fast forwarding. We were slaves, the Makos, then we're free. At the night of the Seder, it's like you fast forwarded through the history, and by the end of the Maggid at the Seder, what's happening? We're experiencing leaving Mitzrayim. So it's beautiful. The two themes of matzah become the bookends, the beginning and the end of the story. So you literally, your mamish telling the whole story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim over the matzah. The matzah tells the whole story. We mentioned before that matzah is called Lechem Oni, the bread over which you say many things. So the Ramah quotes a minhag that you're supposed to uncover the matzahs during most of Maggid. Most of Maggid, the matzahs are uncovered. Why do you do that? So the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, on the Shulchan Aruch quotes, this is why. Since matzah is called Lechem Oni, which means Lechem, Shorei Levarim Harbe, the bread over which you say many things, you're supposed to tell the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim over in front of the matzah. So ideally, the matzah should be uncovered. So you're looking at it, you're telling the story, there's the matzah. So it's perfect, you're telling the story of Maggid. We used to be slaves, and now we're free. That's happening at Maggid. We start the Seder focusing, and there's the matzah, the bread of affliction. And we end Maggid discussing matzah being the symbol of Geula. By the way, the Ramah says that the matzah is uncovered for most of Maggid. When is the matzah covered? The matzah is covered whenever we lift up the cup of wine. Whenever the cup of wine is lifted, we cover the matzah. Just like when you make Kiddush on the night of, on Shabbos, on Shabbos night, Shabbos day, you cover the bread. So too, you cover the matzah when you lift up the cup of wine. Why do we do that? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the earlier sources that the matzah shouldn't be embarrassed. See, matzah is hamotzi. Bread is hamotzi. So hamotzi is a more important bracha than hagefen. So normally, the matzah, the bread, comes first. On Shabbos, we say Kiddush first, so the bread's a little embarrassed, so therefore you cover the bread. At the Seder, the matzah's there. You lift up the cup of wine, you're pushing the matzah aside, it shouldn't be embarrassed, so you cover the matzah. Now, last we checked, matzah is inanimate. Matzah doesn't have feelings. I don't even think bread has feelings. Matzah and bread don't have feelings. So what is going on? What's the pshat? That we don't want the bread and the matzah to be embarrassed. So all the Mefarshim explained, the point is clear. It's as follows. The halacha wants us to be sensitive, even to the quote-unquote feelings of bread, of matzah. The point being that we should learn from that to be careful with the feelings of people. And treat people with respect. And treat people with dignity. And therefore, although matzah and bread don't have feelings, they're not embarrassed, but we view it as if they're embarrassed, and we treat them with respect in a sense. So Lord, if you treat even the matzah and the chametz with respect, kal v'chomer, you must treat people with respect as well. There's an old Chassidish story that they tell. I forget the names of the rav. A great rav was invited once to somebody's home, and a chush of a person, and somehow that Friday afternoon, his wife was all behelim and this, and things weren't organized, and these things didn't get done. And when he brought this rav home to his house, the table wasn't fully set, and the house wasn't fully together yet, and the challahs weren't covered. So this bala bus, so this person, the rav was staying, who was staying at his house for the meal. He noticed that the challahs weren't. Now the challahs should be covered. You know, when you come home from shul, the challahs are there; they're covered. So this bala bus, he yelled at his wife. Don't you? He was embarrassed. He thought that the Chassidish Rav would think, "Hey, this guy doesn't know. You have to have the challahs covered." He yelled at his wife. Don't you know you have to cover the challahs? You know, at the kiddush table. So that's an unfortunate example. The idea of covering the challahs so the challahs shouldn't be embarrassed. And here he was yelling at his wife, terrible, about the challahs not being covered. Mamish, the opposite of what's supposed to be. All right. That's a side point, an important side point, but a side point nonetheless. Let us continue. So we have the two themes of matzah at this Seder, and that's what's happening. You can tell the whole story over the matzah. That's Magid, that the two themes of matzah become the bookends for Magid, and that's the matzah's central role at the Seder. Okay. Let's go one step deeper. It's interesting that matzah is both the symbol of the slavery and the symbol of the geula. It didn't have to be that way. Why did Hashem do that? In other words, for 200 years, 210 years, just to be clear, we were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. If you work out the numbers, we weren't actually slaves. We were only actually slaves for approximately 116 years. If you work out the numbers, Rashi explains that the Torah tells us how old Levi was when he died. And Rashi quotes Chazal that the actual slavery didn't begin till Levi died. So if you work out the numbers, we were in Mitzrayim for a little more than 90 years before the slavery started. So we were actually slaves, according to Rashi, for approximately 115, 116 years. And we're in Mitzrayim for 210 years. All right. So it's interesting. For 210 years, or at least 116 years, matzah is a symbol of slavery. Okay, we ate matzah, we explained why, it doesn't taste good, and part of the shibud was given the food that doesn't taste good, the mitzvah rushed us back to work, it was economical for the mitzvah to serve us matzah, fine. Now we're leaving Mitzrayim, and Hashem is going to orchestrate events that a certain food will be the symbol of geula. Why matzah? Hashem could have easily orchestrated events that the symbol of geula would have been something like Brooklyn Bakery brownies. Oh, amazing. You sit down at your Seder, eat a kezias, time for a kezias. Sure, I'll eat three kezias. Wonderful, five, and so they're so yummy, they're great. Why did this is a very interesting, fair, hashkafic question. Why did Hashem work it out this way that the same symbol of slavery becomes a symbol of geula? Anything could have been the symbol of geula. Why dafka matzah? Why matzah? There are several answers to this question. I want to just mention two. One is from Rav Hirsch, and one I heard in the name of Rav Salvechik, the Rav. Rav Hirsch explains as follows. Matzah symbolizes dependence on others. When you're a slave, you're dependent on others. That's matzah. The Torah is teaching us, Hashem was teaching us, that even when we became free, we were still dependent. We weren't totally free. We're not free to wander around. What are we free? We're free only to serve Hashem. We are still servants. We just shifted masters. We used to be servants and slaves to the evil Paro and the Mitzrayim, accomplishing nothing with all of our work. And now we're becoming free, free to serve Hashem. So we want to have this reminder, this symbol. Even when you're becoming free, you're still under Hashem's control. You're not totally free to wander around. There wasn't one second where we were totally free. In Judaism, freedom means this is the ultimate freedom. The ultimate freedom is I'm free to serve Hashem. It doesn't matter if I'm a physical slave or not anymore. You can be a physical slave, you're still free to serve Hashem. Judaism is about I'm free to serve Hashem. So Hashem wanted us to take that symbol of slavery and keep it with us. And we're shifting gears from the slavery to the Mitzrayim. Now, we used to be totally dependent on our masters. Now we're totally dependent on our new master, capital M, Lahavdil, our new master, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're slaves to Hashem. A beautiful pshat of our verse. It's in Shmos Perek Yibes. He develops it, the idea of dependence. That even as we're becoming free, we're still dependent. So that's why matzah becomes a symbol of geula. Because even in our freedom, we have to remember we're still under Hashem's control. Okay. Rav Salvechik said apparently a different idea. He said as follows. The night of the Yetzias Mitzrayim is the night of the Gilui Shechina, where Hashem is revealing His greatness, the miracles to the whole world. This is part of the Gilui Shechina, that the same matzah, which for centuries was a negative food. The matzah conjured up negative, bad images. Oh, matzah, we're slaves. No future. Life is terrible, oppressive, horrible. That same food That becomes the symbol of Geula. Wow, that food, I'm excited about that food. Only Hashem, only Kadosh Baruch Hu himself could do that. To turn it around totally, that reflects Hashem's complete mastery over the world. That's Nes Nigla. Hashem changes, Hashem controls everything. Hashem's the master of everything. Just think for a second. You're in Mitzrayim. And it's 6 months before Yetzias Mitzrayim. And somebody says to you, you know, what's your least favorite food? What food gives you nightmares? You can imagine a kid having nightmares about matzah. Because matzah symbolizes, yeah, matzah is our slave food. I know my Abba eats matzah. Rachmana Litzlan, when Abba eats matzah, he might not come back. A lot of the slaves got killed. For centuries, matzah was this food, depressing, oppressive food. I said, you know what? In 6 months, when you think about matzah, oh, you're going to be happy. Because matzah means you're free. Yeah, what are you, crazy? No way! And that's exactly what happened. That reflects HaKadosh Baruch Hu's complete mastery of events, that matzah becomes this ultimate symbol of Geula. It reflects the Gilui Shechina, that the same food which was for centuries, for generations, the symbol of slavery, that food becomes the symbol of the freedom of the Geula. To go one half step further, let's get back to that Sfarno with the Shla, and this really sharpens the point. The Sfarno explained, why did we eat matzah in Mitzrayim? Because the Mitzrayim knocked on the door. Get back to work. So for generations, a knock on the door meant oppression, meant slavery. Rush, get back to work. You can easily imagine children having nightmares, but a knock on the door means Abba's going away to work. He might never come back. That's what a knock on the door meant for centuries, for generations. Oh, and now what's happening? When we left Mitzrayim, it was the same knock on the door. But now the knock is what? Leave, get out, go free, you're free to leave. That Hashem orchestrated events that this, not only the food, but the action surrounding the food, the exact same action has a 180 degree turnaround. The same knock on the door, get out. Excuse me, the same knock on the door, go back to work, you're slaves, you're oppressed. That same knock becomes the knock of freedom. Only HaKadosh Baruch himself could have done that. This sharpens the vort of the Rav. The complete turnaround, this is part of the beautiful symbolism of matzah being this, the same matzah which was a symbol of slavery becomes the ultimate symbol of the Geula. Oh. Just to close this section with another gematria, which is actually very beautiful gematria. So Lachmanias 210, we discussed 210. That was a symbol of slavery. The truth is, the Sfarim say that it's also a symbol of Geula. Why? Because we know we were supposed to be Mitzrayim 400 years. And we left Mitzrayim after 210 years. We left Mitzrayim early. Why do we leave Mitzrayim early? What happened? So there are many pshatim about this. So some of the Mefarshim say, there's a wonderful book called Let My Nation Go, Rabbi Deutsch's book on leaving Mitzrayim. So in the footnotes, he quotes a lot of the pshatim. He quotes this pshat, but he quotes the sources there. That because the oppression was so severe, that in the 210 years of being in Mitzrayim, we receive the oppression which we deserved for the 400 years that Hashem originally had decreed. Okay, so it's 400 years, and it's just 400. How can we leave 210 years after only 210 years? The Mitzrayim sort of went overboard. So the Mitzrayim gave us such severe oppression, in 210 years we had received that which we quote-unquote deserved in 400 years. So the Lachma Anya, the 210, that also helped us leave, because the 210 were so oppressive, were so a bread of affliction, we left Mitzrayim early. Well, this idea happens to be the root of one of the most famous vorts from the Vilna Gaon on the Chumash. The Vilna Gaon, the great Gra, so he was a giant of giants, Nukola Trokula, backwards and forwards, and it's brought down in the Sfarim, and it's mentioned in many places. It's known that the Gra spent the last several years of his life, a good portion of learning Chumash. Because the Gra took it as axiomatic that every idea which is mentioned by Chazal is hinted at somewhere in the Chumash, Torah Shebichsav. Every idea of Torah Shebal Peh is hinted at somewhere in Torah Shebichsav. We don't always see it. Chazal don't always tell us, but it's there. And the Gra would spend time going through Chumash with the Pashup Shah Torah Shebichsav and finding hints in Torah Shebichsav what we find in Tarshish Baal Peh. This is the famous approach of the Gra. One of his most famous ones is ayin tachas ayin, an eye for an eye. So we know the halacha is if someone, Rahman al-Hassan, knocks out somebody's eye, the Torah sounds like it says, if Reuven knocks out Shimon's eye, so you knock out Reuven's eye. But we don't do that. You pay money instead, you pay kesef instead. So the Gemara said, there's a remez, ayin tachas ayin. It doesn't say ayin for, ayin under an eye. What does tachas mean, under? Take the letters after the letters of ayin. Ayin is spelled ayin yud nun. What are the letters underneath ayin yud nun? Pei, kaf, and samach. Those are the three letters that spell kesef, money. So it's a hint. The Torah says ayin tachas ayin. An eye under, for under, in replace of an eye. But it says the word under. So take the letters that follow ayin yud nun, pei, kaf, samach. That spells out kesef. Okay. So the Gemara says as follows. We left Mitzrayim early. Why? Because the oppression was so severe, we left Mitzrayim early. Which is the phrase in the Torah that describes the oppression being very severe? It's in Shmos Perek Aleph. The phrase is, Vayamaru es chayehem. They made our lives bitter. They made our lives so bitter. Vayamaru es chayehem. We left Mitzrayim early. Okay. So the Gra noticed that the notes, the trup, the ta'amim, the notes on the words, you know, when they read the Torah in Shul, there are notes on the words, how to read, go up, go down. The notes on the words, Vayimaru es chayehem, the notes are Kadma ve'azla. Kuf dalad mem aleph, Kadma ve'azla. Vav aleph, Zayin lamed aleph. Those are the notes, that's how you read those words. Interesting. The words Kadma ve'azla mean to go early. Kadma, kuf, dalet, mem, aleph. The root is kodem, early. Go early, go before, go early. Azla, the root of azla is zil, zayin lamed. Zayin lamed in Aramaic means to go. It's a good word to know, by the way. It comes up a lot. Zil means to go. It's amazing. The name of the notes on the phrase in the Chumash, based on which one source of Chazal is, we left Mitzrayim early because of the terrible oppression, the notes mean to go early. That's a hint to what Chazal say. That's great. But it gets much, much better. And this is amazing. Because the Gra has a gematria. Now you should know, there are two types of gematrias out there. There's the Gra's type, which is serious and real. Then there's the other type, Yad HaShevet Brachos. And you have the Chassan and Kala. And the person gets up and says that the chassan's name is Yaakov, and the gematria of Yaakov is whatever it is, and the kala had a third grade teacher, and the third grade teacher had a second daughter, and the second daughter's middle name is the same gematria as Yaakov. Oh, they're a perfect match. That happens at Shev Brachas. That's fun. That's simcha, but it's not real. That's not real Torah. The Gra had gematrias that are real. Kadma v'azla added up. Kadma v'azla adds up exactly to 190. Exactly, not one off. The Gra says that the notes on the phrase in the Chumash upon which Chazal had this remez that we left Mitzrayim how early? 190 years early? It's a remez. Kadma v'azla. Go early by how much? 190 years. A beautiful vort of the Gra. It should be a chizuk for our Amunah. A chizuk for our Amunah. You see the unity of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. The Gra had many of these that he found in his farm. That whatever Chazal say, it's based on something. Amazing. Exactly 190. That's the gematrias of the Gra. Okay, that's matzah. And the two roles matzah plays at the Seder. Now, there's another idea about matzah, which goes as follows. The Sfarim quote from the Zohar. I don't learn the Zohar, but the Zohar compares chametz to the Yetzer Hara and matzah to the Yetzer Tov. I saw this brought down. The Sefer Todah, the Book of a Heritage, by Rav Kitov, in the month of Nisan, he quotes this topic. There's also a book called the HaSeder HaAruch. It's a likud. It gathers everything about the Seder. He has a whole chapter on this topic. Chametz is the Yetzer Hara, matzah is the Yetzer Tov. Okay, what's the pshat there? How does chametz symbolize yetzer hara and matzah yetzer tov? And let's look at the different pshatim and learn things that we can use for our preparation for Pesach. Oh. So the pashut pshat is, one of the pshatim is, this is the pshat the Sefer Todah says, that chametz tastes good, tastes better than matzah. Chametz symbolizes more gashmis, and matzah symbolizes more simple. So a Jew has to know that if you get too involved, too much gashmis, then sometimes it can lead to making mistakes in mitzvahs and averos. So the Torah is teaching us when the year begins, when the spiritual year begins on Pesach, we cut back on the gashmis to remind ourselves, make sure that when the year comes, we have the proper ruchnius gashmis balance. Therefore, we eat matzah. In that sense, chametz is the eitzar, matzah is the eitzar tov. Be more careful with your gashmias choices. That's the eitzar tov. Doesn't mean no gashmias. Most of the year we eat chametz. It's a lesson. For 1 week, cut back on the gashmias, cut back on the chametz, no chametz, to teach you that, you know what, if you want to be a more ruchniistic person, a little less gashmias, and this week teaches us for the whole year, the proper approach. That's chametz is the eitzahara, matzah is the eitzar tov. Okay. Then you have the Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Yud Zayin. And he discusses as follows. You know, chametz, you're not allowed to offer chametz on the Mizbeach. Karbanos, whenever they offered karbanos, you offered karban mincha. Karbanos mincha, they were a flour offering. They're not from chametz. They were unleavened bread. The lechem aponim, they were thick, but they were not technically chametz. They were technically, we call matzah. They used to know how to make these very thick matzos. They're not chametz, but even if they're thick. Okay. The Chinuch writes, what's the pshat? Why can't chametz be on the mizbeach? What's the idea of chametz? How do you make chametz? You make chametz by putting it in the oven, then you sit back, and you wait, and you relax. Take a nap. You can be lazy. I mean, the truth is, it takes a lot to work on the bread. Okay, let's say you have a bread machine maker. Fine, so you have the maker. But the point is, once you finish kneading the dough, which is hard work, okay? But then how do you actually bake the chametz? You sit back and you relax. You can be lazy, sit back and relax. Matzah. Matzah has to be made carefully, quickly. Vigilance. Watch what you're doing. Think about what you're doing. You're in a rush. Quick, check the clock. And you're trying to be very careful. So matzah symbolizes being careful. Matzah symbolizes being enthusiastic. As opposed to chametz, being lazy, not so careful, not so vigilant, the opposite of enthusiastic. That's how chametz is the Yetzer Hara, and matzah is the Yetzer Tov. A Jew should realize, when I go through life, I should try to be excited to do mitzvos. Be quick to do things. Accomplish a lot with your day. Be quick, be excited. And at the same time, while you're being quick, while you're having zrizos, be careful too, have zahirus. If you're quick and you break things all the time, that's not accomplishing much. You have to have the combination to be quick and careful. That's matzah. Matzah is quick and careful. Chametz is relaxed and lazy. Matzah is quick and careful. So this is the pshat, based on the Sefer Achinuch, that chametz symbolizes the Yetzer Hara, and matzah symbolizes the Yetzer Tov. It's interesting that the Torah says, "Ushmartem es ha-matzos," guard the matzos. That means be careful the matzos don't become chametz. That's in Shmos Perek Yud Beis. There's a famous Maimer Chazal that the letters of the word matzos, mem, sadi, vav, tuf, also can spell mitzvos. So Chazal learn out, it's a hint. The Torah says, guard the matzos. It also means guard the mitzvos. That what? Just like with matzah, be careful. The Gemara says, mitzvah bal yarcha, al tach mitzvah. If a mitzvah comes to your hand, grab the mitzvah right away. So that's what Chazal learned from that pasuk. Just like you have to be careful with the matzos, be careful with the mitzvos. So it's interesting that we use matzah as the pasuk to teach us this message of being careful, being quick with mitzvos. So the Ksav Sofer explains exactly, that's the idea. That how do you make matzah? You make matzah, you have to be very careful with matzah. Be careful. A 2 minute difference here, if you have to be very careful. Be careful, be quick. So we learn. So that's why it works out perfectly that matzos become chazal symbol for mitzvos. Just like you're careful, you're vigilant with matzah, and you're quick and you're careful, so too with mitzvos. Be careful and be quick. So it's mamish very nice. It's not stam a coincidence. Well, we knew it wasn't a coincidence, but now we understand how it's not a coincidence. That the source that Chazal have to be careful with the mitzvos is the pasuk of be careful with the matzos. Hashem worked it out that the letters of matzos are the same letters as mitzvos, because what we learn from matzos, we can apply to all the mitzvos generally as well. Oh, so this is the idea of chametz being the Yetzer Hara and matzah being the Yetzer Tov. One final idea that's brought down in many Sfarim: when you bake bread, it gets big, tall. You know, matzah is low, flat, plain. Chametz symbolizes gaiva. Bread is literally full of itself. I mean, literally full of itself. It's big, gaiva. Matzah is humble. Gaiva leads to the Yetzer Hara. And humility, that's the Yetzer Tov. That's another lesson of Chametz being the Yetzer Hara and Matzah being the Yetzer Tov. Chametz is big, it expands, full of gaiva. And Matzah is the Yetzer Tov. This is the third idea that we can learn, the symbolism of Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov. Just to develop that for a minute, so when you talk about matzah, you're talking about having humility and being humble. Let's just discuss that for a minute, this idea of humility. It's a very important idea. You know, it's good to be humble, don't be full of yourself, but, you know, a person is supposed to have healthy self-esteem. Get out there and accomplish things in life and do things with your life. And a person who walks around all the time, I'm like this, I'm low, it's hard to, how do you balance humility with healthy self-esteem? So you should know Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Chorsky discusses this a lot in his books, in his frame in his books. Okay. I once heard an explanation, which later I saw Rabbi Chorsky really says, but I never chopped it fully, sharply in his books. Later I saw he does say it, but I dismissed it. A friend of mine is Rosh Yeshiva. His name is Harav Hillel Waxman Shlita. He once said a beautiful pshat about, really, this is the fine line between anava, proper humility, and healthy and gaiva versus, you know, healthy self-esteem versus gaiva. It says as follows. A person has an ability in life. You have an ability. You're good at something. Okay. You're intelligent. Okay. You can sing well. Okay. What is your next thought? After you recognize, I'm good at this, what's your next thought? If your next thought is, because I'm good at this, others should treat me differently. That's gaiva. If your next thought is, because I'm good at this, I better use it well and accomplish with this God-given talent, that's healthy self-esteem, that's proper humility. It's a beautiful, precise definition. A good definition of the breakdown between gaiva versus healthy self-esteem is, okay, I have this ability. What's my next thought? Because of this, let's say I learn well. I'm in the basement, I learn well. Okay, a person says, Reuven learns well. Reuven, I learn well. The boy should give me kavod. I want everyone to know that I'm looked up to. I learn the best in the whole Beis Medrash. That's gaiva. If a person says, hey, Baruch Hashem, I can learn well, I'm going to use it. I should use my talents, invest and learn more and more and more. Help others, maybe give a shiur, teach others. That's gaiva versus self-esteem. There's no gaiva in recognizing one's abilities. That's not gaiva. If you recognize what your abilities are, that's healthy self-esteem. The gaiva starts the next stage when you want to be treated differently because of your abilities. That's a wonderfully sharp definition, the breakdown between gaiva versus healthy self-esteem. So today we really discussed two broad themes about matzah. Number one, we discussed how matzah has a dual role at the Seder, the Gullus and the Geula. We start Magid with matzah as a symbol of Gullus. Towards the end of Magid, it's a symbol of Geula. We saw both Bezman Yetzias Mitzrayim, there was the matzah of the Gullus and the matzah of the Geula. And both are at the Seder, it's bookends for the Seder. And that matzah is dafka, both the symbol of both. So why is the same matzah the symbol of both? We gave the pshat of Rav Hirsch and the pshat of Rav Soloveitchik with the little addition from the Shlo. We discuss matzah in Aramaic. Lechem Oni is Rachma Anya. The gematria is 210. That's a symbol of Gullus, 210 years. Also of Geula, because the affliction was so terrible, we left early. And then I mentioned the beautiful word from the Gra, that the Gra would find ideas in Torah Shebichsav, which are remuzim for what Chazal say in Torah Shebaal Peh, and the beautiful idea by Yemaru Eschayim, they made our lives bitter, the Kadma V'Azra, that because they made our lives bitter, we left in Shem 190 years early. And then Matz, Chametz being the symbol of Yetzirah, versus Matzah being the symbol of the Yetzir Tov, we discussed the Gashmias Ruchnias proper balance, one idea, because Chametz tastes good, more Gashmias. Number two, how do you bake Chametz? That you sit back, you relax, you can be lazy. Matzah, careful, vigilant, quick. Mitzvos, you have to be careful and quick regarding mitzvos. Again, it's an interesting, it's an important combination. Quick and careful at the same time. And finally, chametz, full of itself, literally full of itself. Gaiva, matzah, symbol. It's simple. It's a humble humility. That's matzah, zietzer tov. And we discuss what it means to the humility and the breakdown between healthy self-esteem versus gaiva. And these are some of the things we can learn for matzah, for the Seder, for Pesach, and really for life. Everyone should have a Chag Kosher v'Sameach, and we'll stop here.